11. A Special Kind of King. In Washington, D.C., that winter, there was a rain of blood. Martha felt the blood first, warm and wet against her cheek. A trickling ooze unlike water, it had a thickness and a silky quality. The smell was not at first unpleasant, the tang of animal and iron. Martha put her hand to her cheek and it came away sticky and red. All down the steps of the courthouse, plump red droplets were bursting on the stone, on the barricades, on the protesters, on the dark gray suit of Zimri Nomic and the lilac silk dress of Sela Nomic, and on the immaculate black wool coat of Lenk Sketlish. Lenk looked up. A bloody mass hit him in the face, a skinned rat with a long tail, Martha thought. Lenk grunted, and the object on his face slid slowly down across his immaculate blue shirt to land with a heavy plop on the concrete. It was a blood-soaked tampon. On top of a squat, dark building opposite the courthouse, a group of women were unfurling a banner. Anvil oppresses women, period. Nomic, this is what happens when you don't give women time to change their tampons. They had black plastic buckets and pump spray water guns filled with blood. Some of them were swinging the bloody tampons around their heads and hurling them like, what was it? Martha felt her mind slowing down. Cabers? No, hammer throwers. Behind her, there were shouts, security swinging into action. Sela Nomic ran up the stairs two at a time. Zimri Nomic put his hand on the back of one of the women on the steps and swung her sideways out of the line of fire. It had to be animal blood, surely. No one would have collected this amount of menstrual blood and kept it fresh. Martha, who tended toward analysis in times of trouble, wondered whether there was some way to do it. Hospital anticoagulants, thousands of women timing their pills, emptying the contents of menstrual cups into a bucket. She was still fascinatedly calculating when two muscular arms grabbed her waist and one of Lenk's security guards said in her ear, back inside, back inside. With such care, she felt she was a child being lifted into bed when her feet came off the ground. At the porcelain trough in the women's bathroom, Sela Nomic, Zimri Nomic's wife, was peeling her blood-stained lilac dress off her strong shoulders. Martha looked and flicked her eyes away. She, too, was covered in blood and was holding a clear plastic bag stuffed with sweatpants and a charity 5K t-shirt someone had found in a closet. Sela wadded up a ball of tissue, wet it, and tried to clean the blood off her neck. A bead of red-streaked water dribbled onto her white lace bra. Fuck, said Sela, fuck. Then suddenly turned to Martha. We're going to have to get tested. HIV, Hep B, Hep C, whatever's in blood. I think it's pig, said Martha. Her mind had been working at this problem for a few minutes now. My dad had a farm. It smells like pig blood. Oh, that's a relief, said Sela, and she started to cry. Her tears carried her navy and pale blue eyeshadow as far as her neck, like the spring thaw carrying last autumn's bright leaves into the creek. She scrubbed at her face and hair with the wet tissue, slowly scraping up the blood. You work for Lenk, right? Fantel Lenk? Yeah, said Martha. Sela looked at Martha's reflection in the mirror, both of them bloody, as if they'd been in a fight. Sela was sizing her up. Sometimes the need to talk is so strong that a person will grab anyone who is even vaguely trustworthy. Let me in, says someone. And someone who has no reason to let anyone in says, okay. Does he cheat? Your boss, Lenk, Sela asked. Does he cheat on his wife? Martha looked at her. I can't. Right, said Sela. If he didn't, you'd have just said, oh no, I work for the only angelic man in the Fortune 500. He doesn't know other women even have tits. Does he cheat with you? No, I don't do that, said Martha. Smart. But he'd cheat with you if he had the chance, right? No, don't answer that. I get it. You don't have to answer that. Did you see Zimri with his hand on her back? Oh, yes. The woman with the bright gold beads dotted at the end of her braids. Mary Meir of Code Hogs. Martha thought back to those moments on the steps, to Zimri Nomic guiding Mary Meir to safety with great care. Ah, right. It doesn't take so much trust if you think everyone knows already. There was an opening in the world here, Martha saw, a crack in the mountain. Yes, said Martha, I saw. Oh, fuck, you did? If you saw, then every fucker saw. People were videoing that shit, did you see? God, it'll be everywhere, fuck. Sela Nomic turned back to the mirror and applied a cream from a little pot to her face, wiped it off with a tissue. I'm so sorry Zimri treats you this way, said Martha. Their eyes met in the mirror, a momentary connection. "You deserve better," said Martha, and she knew when she said it that it was true, that Sela Nomic knew she meant it. This woman deserved a better husband than the Anvil founder, Zimri Nomic, a man obsessed with expansion of his business and apparently his sexual portfolio. A moment of sincerity in this world of symbols and evasions had more than natural worth. "I do, actually," said Sela. "I know everyone thinks I'm with him for the money, and like, how could anyone actually love a man like that? But I mean, I did love him. I did find Zimri lovable." Martha shook her head. "No one thinks that," she said. "Everyone knows you're impressive. They all wonder how he managed to convince you to stay for so long." Sela said, "Okay, you want to know how many people he's sleeping with?" She counted them on her fingers. "First, the PA, obviously. You saw her at the hearing, the one who looks like me, but her color is cheap and her tips are frizz. She thinks she's going to be the next Mrs. Zimri Nomic, but she's going to get bought off with $4 million and stock. She'll end up running a chinchilla farm in Tampa. I'm telling you, I see the future. Second, his kid's nanny. He sees her when he sees the kids, and he sends them to get ice cream, and they bone in the changing room at his pool, security guy told me. Also his yoga instructor, which is like, so, God, what is it with men and stretchy women? And those three don't worry me because he's not going to leave me for the PA or the nanny or the yoga instructor. But now he's also sleeping with Mary Meir. You know her? CEO of Code Hogs? When he touched her, I could see he touched her naked. Do you know what I mean? He's probably with her right now. I get the public bathroom. She gets the private room with Zimri." "Are you sure you want to tell me all this?" But Sela was in her stride. "Zimri thinks he's a special kind of king because he only fucks black girls. I knew that when I met him, and when Vashti Nomic got her settlement. I thought, fine, let him think he's special. All men think they're kings anyway. But you know what it is, really? He doesn't want me to feel safe around other black women. I didn't see that when we met because I was young, but I'm 42 now, and he made a pass at my sister when she came for Thanksgiving. What he wants is to own a black woman. I'm not kidding. He's frightened of women. He wants to own a woman and then destroy her. If it's not Mary Meir, it'll be someone else." Martha said, "If he wants to leave, let him go. You don't need him. He doesn't own you." "Bloody hell, women in bathrooms. I'm serious, you're..." Martha tried not to say magnificent and failed. "Magnificent? You leave him, you'll be one of the richest people in the world." "I don't get 50% if I leave now. Got to do another 5 years minimum for the serious money. Or he's got to leave me. Plus, they're launching a new thing next year, Anvil Automate. Takes any process your secretary's doing and automates it, any process anyone is doing online. I don't just mean mail merge. I mean research methods. I mean writing emails. I mean undetectable artificial secretary to make Zoom calls for you. Zimri is going to be worth 3 times what he's worth now. The code for it is beautiful, like a cathedral." Sela had finished cleaning the blood and makeup off her face. She pulled on her fresh shirt and pants. "You know what I think to myself every day? I think, at least where I am, I can hold him back from some of it. You know, like he wanted to set up some moon base. I'm not joking, a bloody moon base. And I said, how about we buy up some habitats on Earth and turn them into safe zones for animals? Obviously, he doesn't remember that was my idea, but it bloody was. He still wants to do the moon base, but we've got the future safe zones now. I think to myself, maybe that's why I'm in this position. That's why I got here, for this." "Yes," said Martha, "I think something like that about Lank. But sometimes," she spoke slowly and carefully, placing each word like a board game piece, "I wonder if that's going to be enough." Sela took a bright pink pencil from her bag and reapplied a confident winged navy blue sweep across each eyelid. She turned to Martha. "You think about leaving Lank? You wouldn't work for Fantel anymore?" said Sela. Martha said, "Yes, I've thought about it. Yes." "And? You've got no prenup. Go and run a foundation or something." "Yes," Martha said, I could do that. I think I'm staying because I'm trying to work out how to take what Lenk's built and do something better with it." Sela looked at Martha. Her head started to tip to the side as if of its own accord, like the world was turning around and Sela was trying to match it to keep things level in front of her eyes. "Women in bathrooms," said Martha. "How does trust build between people? It is an offering and a receiving. It is putting yourself into the position to be hurt, just a little, and noticing that they refrain. It is the reaching out between people, laughing at the same moment. It is building a model of the other person inside yourself, placing them in the palm of your hand, rotating them and saying, "Yes, I see the flaws and I see the dangers, and nothing will happen here that will truly harm me." And it is saying, "I would rather trust you than be alone." Sela unhooked her bra under the t-shirt, ran cold water onto the frothy lace, rubbing at it gently with the pads of her thumbs. "I mean, it's fucking biblical. Literally, blood raining down on us. Mate, I grew up with all that. My mom is well religious. Don't give me church every Sunday. Church every day. Blood, frogs, locusts, pestilence, hail, darkness. There are ways to tell if the Lord is done with you, innit?" They had a plague of locusts in Italy just a few weeks ago, and South Africa before that, Martha said. "The novel coronavirus, Mpox." Sela gave a sideways glance. "Hailstones the size of grapefruit in Canada, in summer." They were laughing. Martha had never known anyone who could play this game with her before. "Is that true," Martha said, "about the hailstones?" "Oh yeah, I have anvil alerts for the end of the world, fam. God is so pissed off with us." Is it then that this starts to be something? Is it Sela Nomik saying those words in that order that plants the seed of all that is to come? At this time, Martha didn't think of it as more than a joke. Sela Nomik said, "If we had any, like, old-school prophets, they'd all be telling us to stop everything we're doing right now and just get on with fixing it. Nothing else. Not till it's done." "A friend of mine says that too," said Martha, "that tech people are the only people who can fix this because we're the only ones who are used to changing stuff this quickly." "Right, because we have to do it quickly, you know. The climate stuff, habitat destruction, eventually it'll right itself. But it can take 600 years, and we have to live through civilizational collapse, and 6 billion people will die, and we'll get thrown back to the Stone Age. Or we can all just get our asses in gear and do it really quickly and have like 5 years of significant pain, live with blackouts, everyone in the world is conscripted to fix it, and then we're basically through the worst." "There's a beautiful world on the far shore," Martha said. "There really fucking is." Sela spun around so quickly that she splattered tiny drops of water onto Martha. "Oh, fuck, sorry. It's not the worst thing that's gotten on me today." "Right," said Sela. "No, but look, sorry, you get it, right? I'm really trying, but I don't think I've met anyone else who really gets this. There is a beautiful world on the far shore, where we're not destroying all the species anymore, and our cities are clean and beautiful and full of wild birds, and our cars are all electric and all shared, and all the streets are safe for kids to play in, and we get to keep TV and the internet and concerts and ball games and all that good stuff. And fine, we're eating mostly vegan food, but it's good. And if we can just get through the pain barrier as quickly as possible, then we're there." "I think you should meet my friend," said Martha. "I fucking should," said Sela, folding her damp bra into her plastic bag. "I should meet your friend, and I should meet you, and you should somehow persuade your boss, Link Sketlish, to get in on FutureSafe." "My friend is Albert Dabrowski," said Martha. "Okay," said Sela, because for a moment it didn't register. His was a name from the distant past, which is to say in Silicon Valley about 12 years ago. Then it did. "Just a sec. Your mates, with Albert Dabrowski."
"Yeah."
"How the fuck did that happen?"
"Long story."
Sela frowned, thinking. "You know who you should talk to? Badger Bywater." It wasn't more than 6 months later that Augur was born.